everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy John Couch. Very happy that we have had some rains up at our house, and things are kind of greening up. Actually, unofficially, since a week ago Friday, that'd be like about 10 days, 3.5 inches of rain up at our place. That's right, John. John's got his mouth open. I can't believe it. Yeah. About 3.5 inches, which is really good. So we're kind of in the rain pocket up at the Buckmaster house. It is Monday, July the 12th, 2021. We are 10.5 years into the radio project. I am the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off sponsored by family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They've got everything you need. Art for your walls, custom frame mirrors, picture framing, and hanging services. They are doing e-commerce too. The newly redesigned website looks really good. I've got a few items for sale that are part of the Buckmaster collection. How's that? Of fine antique prints and maps. You can see all that at moesgallery.com. Of course, they're located next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Jeff Rogers is with me, seated to my left today. Jeff, a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how are you?
I'm very well. I enjoyed some of that rain. I don't want to get too much of it at a time, because my horse's stalls tend to get a little bit wet.
I hear you.
Bob West.
So I'd like to have it spaced out a little bit.
Yes, it's kind of mucky, and you got to get those muck boots out.
Bob Westerman is here. He's a horseman as well. Bob, former chair of the Republican Party in Pima County. Bob, did you get, I know you're over on the west side, you got much rain?
We got some rain, not a lot of rain. We got a lot of wind. I mean, it came really blowing through there.
Big dust storm.
We've lost a couple of storms back. We lost power for like 8 hours. You know.
Wow. Ooh.
And for me, I've got a well. That means I'm not without water too. So it's
goodness.
Yeah.
This conservative political action conference, Bob, that was held in Dallas, the crowd was cheering the fact that the president missed his vaccine goal with more than 30%. Of adults yet to get, it's estimated that 3 in 10 have not at least had one dose. That's troubling, isn't it, when you hear that cheering?
Well, you know, it's pretty much, you may understand a lot of people on the Republicans are not big Biden supporters.
Oh yeah.
So it's we're in a conference like the CPAC. I mean, that's where everything is high. I mean, the Republicans are on stage. I mean, there's great speeches. Things are going on. Believe me, you're going to see that kind of response in situations where, you know, it looks like Biden's not doing the job. And they're going to point that out.
Jeff, I thought it was troubling.
I found it very troubling. I mean, it was the usual pack of lies. I mean, I was reading an article on CNN recently this morning that says, you know, went through the dozens of lies that Trump told during that speech
last night.
And then, and also then when he was, I guess he gave an interview to Fox News and with this Maria Bartiromo, and he repeated a lot of these lies. But, you know, if he was any kind of a decent human being, he would come up and say, look, I was responsible for funneling tons of money into these vaccines, and these vaccines are what's saving lives, and I would urge people to because a little
He's
bit of credit
the architect
can, yeah a little
the,
bit of credit can go to Trump, but you know, he's just such an irresponsible braggart that he's unwilling to do what's in the best interests of America. And I somebody ought to just reach out to him and say, hey, you know, instead of telling people not to get vaccinated or making fun of it, why don't you take credit for it and urge people to get it, and let's move on and get as many people vaccinated as we can.
Yeah.
Because my concern here is, you know, if it was just extremists, the problem is they're going to infect other people. And the more of them that get this virus, the more likely it is to continue to evolve. And maybe it ends up evolving into something that these vaccines won't prevent. And so that's my worry with these anti-vaxxers. And there's always going to be a small segment of the population that's not going to get vaccinated just because they're, you know, kind of conspiracy theorists and distrust vaccines. But I think both parties could go a long way towards urging people to routinely get this vaccine. It's just not that controversial. I mean, we're all vaccinated, I assume, in this room. I know you are, Bill. And I certainly am.
And Bob is too.
I had COVID, and it wasn't. I had COVID in January, and it was not pleasant. I can tell you.
Well, at my age,
I was kind of worried.
The whole COVID vaccine thing is not a political thing, Jeff. I mean, people like to make it that way. But, you know, if you'd say, well, who's getting the vaccine, who's not getting the vaccine? We really don't know. We don't have data there that says, oh, by the way, 50% of Republicans got it and only, you know, 80% of them. That's not out there. There's no data out there. So a lot of people are making these things up as far as, you know, it is the Trumpsters not getting the vaccines. Where's that data come from? It sounds good. It's a nice soundbite. It says, oh, Trumpsters are going to be, it sounds like that's what a Trumpster would do. But, you know, the other thing is why this this focus on Trump, on this situation. Trump's right now is not the guy who's president. Okay, so if there's issues with vaccinations, who's getting them or not getting them? I think, you know, that's Joe's problem, and he's, of course, has asked his Secretary of Health to look at that. Unfortunately, Secretary of Health decided he's going to go door to door and knock on people's to find out who got vaccinated. That is not playing well with the majority of Americans, you all know. So, you know, this whole thing about vaccinations, everybody has a decision to make, Jeff. If you don't want to take the vaccination for a lot of good reasons, maybe you had the COVID, you don't want to take it, it's very individual. Issues have always been a private thing. So to politicize it, I think, doesn't necessarily help the cause. I don't think we should make it so it looks like Republicans don't want to get it, because maybe some Republicans will say, yeah, maybe I don't want it because I'm a Republican. Don't want to go that way.
CDC statistics are showing is that states that Trump won by wide margins, like Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, that those states have much lower vaccination rates than other states that Trump did not win. And so is that a coincidence? It's quite a coincidence when it's across the board and you can pretty much predict in each and every state. I mean, Mississippi, they're saying that the vaccine rate's as low as 30%, whereas, you know, you look in New York and California and they're in the 70%, according to CDC. So, you know, who knows? And the rhetoric, the anti-vax rhetoric, is coming from sort of right-wing extremists. So, you know, go figure. It shouldn't be politicized and it shouldn't be political at all. It ought to be an individual decision that people make with their own judgment and the judgment of their own doctors. But it hasn't turned out that way.
The fact knows is, Jeff, that even though these states are red states and they say not as much, they still don't know who did what. They don't know if it's the Democrats or Republicans. They don't know what the people are in there who are not getting the vaccination. So it's all conjecture. I mean, you can say they're red, they're down low. That means the Republicans don't take the vaccination. That's a big jump, and it politicizes the whole thing, mm-hmm. which I don't think we want to do at this time with that vaccine.
I've been reading about the history of the anti-vax movement. Do you realize it goes back hundreds of years to the smallpox?
Yeah.
And that one wound up actually that there were mandates on some of these vaccinations. And you got to wonder why the government didn't choose to put some mandates like on the military right off the bat.
Yeah.
Think it was a mistake, Jeff?
I think that was a mistake. Yeah. And I think it's a mistake for Governor Ducey and the Republicans in the legislature to pass a law that says schools can't require people to be vaccinated. When I was a child, you couldn't go to school without proof of your vaccines.
Yes.
The MMR and the rubella, and you know, you didn't get to go to school if you didn't have the vaccine.
And Ducey is getting around that, Bob and Jeff, because the COVID vaccine is provisional. Is not at this point
emergency use authorization.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now Pfizer has applied for full use, and I don't know why Moderna hasn't done the same thing, because the fact is that there have never been vaccine trials that had this many people vaccinated. I mean, when you get to let's say half the country is now vaccinated, though there's never been a trial before of any drug that was that large
FDA approved.
Yeah, it's still not. It's still under that emergency use authorization.
But you know, you can't argue with the results. I mean, the vaccine came up. People have gotten it, mm-hmm. and look at the deaths have dropped.
Yes, they have.
Amazing. So the vaccine did work. What we did and had to do was, I think, proved out to be the right decision.
Well, and remember how scared we were a year ago now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were all terrified, and We were hunkered down and home.
I got up at 3:30 in the morning to try to stand in line at the TCC early in January.
You because and I talked about that.
We did. And there was a rumor, that there's going to be extra vaccine at the end of the day, and we waited in line. But it seems like that was only 6 months ago?
Yeah.
So much has happened, including my broken arm. What a year this has been. I thought 2020 was bad. Whoa.
I think now you can get it at Circle K. I'm not sure.
Probably. Let's take a break right here. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is our presenting sponsor. We thank you, Moe, for all your support over the years for our Monday political face-off. Moe is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com for the revamped website. Our studio naming rights go to Green Things and Zocalo Village. Gee, all these rains, I hope they've been getting as much as we've been having over at Green Things, 3385 East River Road, because the 3384 East River Road, because I think there was a collective sigh, Bob Westerman and Jeff Rogers, that all of the plants on Green Things were saying, thank you. It's been a long, dry spell.
Just look at the saguaros, how skinny they are.
Oh, my goodness. But it's amazing what a little rain will do. Some of the cactus really were barely hanging on up at our property, and you get some rain, and they're not looking all that bad.
Well, the ironwoods were distressed. I can see that in my backyard and stuff.
Yeah. Green Things, home to Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise. Much of it is beautifully hand-carved from Latin America and Europe. Bob, you've been over to Green Things, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's great. Great location. Jeff, I know you have as well.
I pass by there every weekend. I passed by there yesterday.
GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Bob Westerman is with us today. Bob, seated to my right, former chair of the Republican Party, and Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. And we're just talking during the break. Did your chairmanships overlap, guys?
They did.
We existed at the same time.
Yes, we did.
So,
let me ask.
We can still talk to each other.
Yeah, still talk. Actually,
I think we were voices for being more civil.
Yeah.
In nature, I can even remember one time we met on the courthouse lawn, the old courthouse lawn, with a bunch of other people to try to foster some civility and
tone down the rhetoric.
On that note, is there a place, Bob Westerman, in the Republican Party for someone who doesn't, not a Trumper, an anti-Trumper?
Trump has a good 30% base. We know that he's kept that. I think he's kept it even after the election. But there's a lot of other Republicans who are have different opinions than President Trump did. And there's a lot of other Republicans who support other potential presidents that they want to have. I think DeSantis is getting really big push from a lot of Republicans for what he did down in Florida. And so there's room in the party to have different opinions about who do you think the leadership of the Republican Party should be. Trump certainly plays a part of that. He has a very loyal following, and I think in the upcoming elections, if he can get out the, energize the base that way, he'd be a tremendous help to the Republican Party.
Do you think Santos would go head-to-head with Trump if Trump decides to run?
Sure.
You think so?
I think he would. I think Trump respects DeSantis. And I think if that happened, don't know how the debate would go. I mean, you know how debates go. I mean, look what Harris said about Biden, and she's now the vice president. So there, things can happen in debates that can change. But I think that he would support the governor if he did get the nomination and be right behind him.
And on the Democratic side, you've seen, looks like there'll be a new mayor in the city of New York who is termed kind of a moderate Democrat.
Many years when he ran to the legislature, he was a Republican.
Uh-huh.
He was a registered Republican for a while.
So maybe a harbinger of maybe the Democratic Party is stepping back more to a moderate?
I hope so. And I think that, I think our worry was that it would be some Octavio Cortez type of candidate who would actually win that race, and I think that would have damaged the Democratic Party's standing. But I think it's good for us that a moderate won that spot, and I think that it's going to be good for New York. And right now we're seeing a rise in crime in larger cities like New York and Chicago and places like that. And so I think there was a lot of emphasis on that as a campaign issue. And he'll certainly win. He should certainly win the November election because, it's such a Democratic city that I can't see the Republican actually having a realistic chance.
How are the Republicans going to position themselves for the midterms? Is it all about crisis, like the Wall Street Journal reports? Is that the watchword for Republicans?
There's a lot of things going on, you know, whether you call them a crisis, a problem, an issue, what do you want to call it? Clearly,
concern.
The White House now has conceded that the border is a crisis, which is good. We have, national security problems with the cyber ransom going on, which CNN called a crisis. There are a lot of things going on right now. The crime, I think Jeff brought up the crime in New York. It has an opportunity in New York City to turn the tide on that. I think that's a good step for the Democrats to take. Unfortunately, in about 14 other cities where Democrat mayors are seeing rises in crime and homicides up to 500%, they need to turn around too. Now, could a Democrat turn that around? Now, if they like an atom, maybe they can. But these are crises that have to be taken care of.
Crime can be that can make Democrats, that's a vulnerable issue there, Jeff Rogers.
I think sometimes it can be. But what we've seen over the last three decades is crime falling in every category. This last 12 to 18 months has been an anomaly. And I'm not sure anybody has a real good handle on why that anomaly exists, but it is an anomaly if you compare it to the last three decades. So I think it's something that we've got to look into very carefully and try to figure out what's causing it. Certainly the pandemic really somehow increased crime rates. And
why would crime go up during the pandemic?
Well, if you defund the police, does that sound familiar?
That's not all the issue.
I always say that if you can put a slogan on a bumper sticker, it's probably a bad policy. and that was a bad idea.
But the other
and
side,
I don't think there's been any actual defunding of in any
cities have defunded police. Minneapolis defunded police. San Francisco did. Los Angeles has. They have been defunded in many cities.
But they didn't defund them 100%. They decreased.
Well, but if you're in the middle of a crime crisis.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a time to do that. Plus, the other problem is I think a lot of the law enforcement people, a lot of unions with the law enforcement are been turned off about this rhetoric saying policemen are basically bad people. And they're leaving and they're retiring. I know people on TPD and they've gone through a lot of emotional problems. They have some issues with that. And that's not a good thing to do. So you want to fight crime? Well, don't make your policemen feel like they're the bad guy. Start working on that. And the other thing about that, Jeff, is the other side of that is prosecution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you let people out on bail, they shouldn't be out on bail. And if you don't prosecute, prosecution is what if you want to be hard on crime, get them in jail. Now, I'm up for reform of that because they put people in jail don't belong there, 100%. But there are ones that do belong there, and they should put them there.
Of course, yeah. And if we want to make this more localized, mm-hmm. when I started practicing law, I've spent maybe the first 5 years as one of the lawyers who helped the Tucson Police Officers Association, which was their union, helped them even get it started, that union. And at that point in time, Tucson had between 1,000 and 1,100 police officers. We're down to like 800 right now. And one aspect of that that particularly bothers me is there's virtually no traffic enforcement inside the city limits.
Yeah.
People are driving like lunatics out there.
They really are.
And accident rates have gone up. Even though people were driving half the mileage during the pandemic, accident rates skyrocketed nationwide and particularly here in Tucson. So, you know, we probably need to focus a little bit on getting some more cops on the street.
Love to hear a defense lawyer talk like that.
Yeah. Huh? But I mean, even if you put occasionally a cop out there with a radar gun on some of these areas, and we know where people are, we see it all the time. I saw it yesterday up on Sunrise. Somebody must have been going 100 miles an hour that passed me. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I come here on Aviation Highway to come to this place, and I got passed by a car that was going, I was doing the speed limit of 55. He had to have been going 80 to 90 miles per hour when he blazed past me.
So the feeling among a lot of drivers is that it's just open season. You can travel as fast as you want because there are no cops out there.
If you let people slip on the smaller things, eventually it gets worse, and then the bigger things start falling off, and then so I'm with Jeff. You need to be looking at these things need to be taken care of, and they need to be given tickets, and we need to do that. Of course, we need more policemen, but that's beside the point.
And Jeff, quickly, court is back in session pretty much now?
Pretty much, yeah. We're doing trials. We've reconfigured courtrooms to put the jurors into the space where spectators used to sit and spaced them out. Mm-hmm. So their trials are starting up. They're not as vigorous as they were, but, you know, we're getting there.
So they're in the gallery area where spectators would have been. Exactly. So I assume then spectators are not invited into the court.
Well, they can't abolish the right to a public trial.
Yes. I was wondering.
As a reporter, you'd want to be in there. Yeah. So they're going to have to let people in, but they're trying to limit the numbers of them.
All right, Bob Westerman, good to see you again, Bob.
Good to see you, Jeff,
as well. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and, of course, their website, moesgallery.com. The Monday Political Face-Off segueing into our CBS Network News for an update. And we'll be right back with our monthly consumer alert, the scam of the month, from the Better Business Bureau right after this.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our monthly interview segment presented by the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona. It's our monthly scam alert, and we welcome Denise Alvarez. Denise is Director of Operations at the Tucson BBB. By the way, that website is tucson.bbb.org. Denise, how are you? Great to have you in studio.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
BBB is such a well-known brand. I think everybody on the planet has probably heard of the Better Business Bureau. But there are probably a lot of people that do not know exactly what the BBB does. Fill us in. What's the mission of the BBB?
Well, the BBB has been in Southern Arizona for more than 60 years. And our mission really is to create a marketplace where businesses and consumers can trust each other, make sure that they feel like they can trust each other in making decisions and hiring the businesses. We also provide complaints, consumer reviews, ADR, which is our alternative dispute resolution, e-quotes, and we do a lot of scam education.
Do you step in then and mediate some of these disputes?
Correct, yes.
I did not know about that function of the BBB.
Yes, so you can do the complaint process, and after the complaint process, if it's not resolved, we do offer mediation and arbitration.
Mm-hmm. And I know you work to combat scams. We talk about that every month. And how about dishonest business practices among some of our business people?
Absolutely. We work, like I said, with businesses and consumers. We rely on consumer information, such as the complaints, their experience with the businesses. And so what we do is we have these business profiles that we keep updated to make sure that we report any, you know, pattern of complaints that they received, any pattern in their customer reviews. We even report on government actions.
Being a nonprofit and you're very community-based right here in Tucson, I guess integrity and performance are kind of the cornerstones. The big word is trust. I think people, you've got to trust the BBB. You're probably one of the most trustworthy brands out there. So integrity and the performance factors are huge, aren't they, Denise?
Absolutely. Integrity includes, we consider that it includes respect, ethics, you know, the intent to work in a positive manner with consumers, and working also towards being diverse and inclusive in the marketplace. And so we take performance and integrity into consideration with these businesses once they become accredited.
So how does the Better Business Bureau create and support trust in the community?
We vet the businesses that become accredited. And so having our the UBBB seal is a huge honor because it means that they've gone to a rigorous vetting process. They've passed because not everybody who applies to become accredited actually becomes accredited. And so that information we put out there for the consumers to review when they're making choices.
How does that vetting process work, Denise?
Let's take contractors, for example. Mm-hmm. We look into their track record. We make sure that they have the proper licensing with the property agency. And so we do all of the homework that, you know, consumers should be conducting before making a decision. So we basically do the homework for the consumer. We, you know, post the results online and make sure that consumers have somewhere to look before they make that decision.
So this gives the consumer a chance to get some objective information because you guys have already done a lot of the homework, right?
Exactly, yes.
65% of consumers, I understand, agree that the BBB helps businesses be honest. 60% believe the BBB helps people find trustworthy, ethical businesses, and 60% think the BBB helps people make a better and safer purchase decision. That's pretty high. I mean, anytime you can get over half, right? That's big.
Yes, absolutely. The amount of public good an organization does is often correlated with the consumer loyalty, employee satisfaction, and companies' overall image. And consumers really value trust. Rating the importance of trusting a company when doing business with them, they gave it an 8.6 out of 10.
That's good. And being part of a nationwide organization helps too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
What kind of extra power does that give you?
Well, right now we have about 400,000 businesses nationwide that have joined the Better Business Bureau by committing to our standards. These standards incorporate not only lawful business practices, but also BBB Better Business principles, such as honesty, transparency, truth in advertising, honoring promises, and being responsive and safeguarding privacy.
So the BBB accredited business, that logo that you have, the business then can use that in any way that in their advertising, obviously if they want to put that, and I would think they would, very prominently on the front door. Right?
I mean,
are there certain standards of how it is to be used?
There are. They can't put it in anything that is permanent, just because in case anything changes, like their rating or they're no longer accredited, we would just request that be taken down. And so there are some policies regarding the seal. But yes, you're correct. Once you become accredited, you want to tell everyone that you're an accredited business.
Let's talk a little bit about scams. And I know the BBB has worked over the last year. It's something about COVID, like, brought out all the scammers, it seems. But the BBB, and through your affiliates, was able to really save consumers a huge amount of money.
That's right. Thanks to the support of the engaged consumers, the BBB and its accredited business community, the media, law enforcement, and other government agencies were actually able to prevent directly or indirectly the marketplace loss of an estimated $3.5 billion just in 2020.
What's the big scam out there right now?
Right now, we've been getting a lot of employment scams. A lot of, a lot of people unfortunately lost their job during the pandemic. And so now are out there looking for employment. And we've been getting a lot of calls regarding that.
The scam tracker has been really getting a lot of hits, right?
That's correct.
Lots of visitors, over a million?
Yes, it was actually 1.4 million unique visitors in 2020.
So the scam tracker, how does that work?
The scam tracker is a live tool. It's on our website. The website is bbb.org/scam tracker, where you can report scams live. They appear on a map, and so you'll be able to see if anybody used the same term that you did, if any of your neighbors are getting the same calls that you are. It's a very useful tool.
I've been getting a lot of calls lately, and they've been starting earlier and earlier. We got one the other morning at 6:30, but we're not alone. A lot of people are getting these calls, and they're calling you. You were telling me before we went on the air, there's been a ton of calls to you guys on this.
Yes, we actually, just in June, we had over 3,000 calls from consumers and businesses about scams. And as you mentioned, scammers use, the caller ID. They purchase one so that the area code matches your area code. And
right.
So you're thinking, it must be someone I know, and you are more likely to pick up the phone.
Yeah, they've been using the prefix. In my case, it's 577, and they've been using that. So they figure that must be a neighbor calling or something.
Right.
And it's a scammer. I just hang up on them. But I guess that's the best thing to do, right, Denise?
Yes. Yes. We ask that if you don't recognize the number, don't answer. If it's somebody that's really trying to get a hold of you, they're more than likely to leave a voicemail message.
That's good advice. Denise Alvarez, thank you very much, Director of Operations at the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona. And again, the website being
bbb.org. And for our scam track, Tracker. It's bbb.org/scam tracker.
Denise, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show pauses right here. Dr. Mark Sykes is in the house. Is it the dawn of space tourism? Sir Richard Branson taking quite a ride yesterday, opening the door to maybe all of us will someday have a chance to take a ride. I don't know how wealthy you've got to be, but I would think pretty darn wealthy initially to take that ride into space. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Just had a listener wondering about taking a trip over to Silver City. Has heard me talk about Silver City, and they thought maybe that would be a great trip. And I can say it would be a great trip. It's only a three-hour drive over to Silver City, and they've had a lot of rain. So that means the Gila National Wilderness has greened up beautifully, and it's going to be cooler over there because the elevation is anywhere from about 5,500 feet to about 7,000 feet. So they've been getting really lovely weather. The evenings cool off to around 60 degrees. There's the current temperature, 80 degrees. That's not bad over in Silver City. So check it out. Look at the low, 62 tonight in Silver City. I'll take that. Visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, Sir Richard Branson, his dream of space travel was realized yesterday as Virgin Galactic's plane reached the edge of space during a historic flight from Spaceport America, which is over in New Mexico, not all that far from Silver City, over in, I think the nearest town is Truth or Consequences, yeah. New Mexico. Mark Sykes is with me, CEO of the Planetary Science Institute, which will be celebrating this next spring, 50 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, Mark, good to see you.
Great to be here, Bill.
Is it a big deal? Is it the dawn of space tourism?
I would like to think so. Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, what an elegant craft.
you know, with the feathered wings and stuff. Clearly, you know, a lot of fun and easily reusable, you know, these these airplane type vehicles. And so we'll have to see, like I was saying before, that these people are in it to make money. And so can they do it? And if they can, then can they, you know, lower the price point and expand their business and make more money by allowing people with less money to fly?
So there was some... not a controversy, sort of disagreement about where space begins. I was reading that there's a certain area. What is the...
Totally arbitrary.
Is it?
It's totally arbitary.
Thank you. Because there was this... I was reading this. These two scientists were kind of arguing, well, they didn't really go to the... There's a certain line it's called that you get into real space.
It's like borders. You don't see them when you cross them. You know, it's not a line drawn on the soil.
But they got to the point where there was weightlessness.
You can do that in a regular airplane on a parabolic arc.
Yeah, that's true.
But they got it to the point where, you know, they're seeing the curvature of the Earth. They're seeing the planet down there. The difference between the amount of distance that we're that people are arguing about is like a few miles. So it's like, it's really not, it's silly. But no, this is a grand thing. I was hoping to be doing this myself at this time.
What was the story with that?
Well, PSI had its ATSA project, which was a space plane that was being built by X-Core, the Lynx spacecraft. We were going to put a telescope on the back of it.
Right.
And then it'd be a pilot and a passenger. The passenger would be a PSI scientist. I planned to be one. And
you were going to take the
first
ride.
And we'd go up into space it was a brainchild of our senior scientist, Faith Filas, the former director of the MMT Observatory. And we were going to go up and compete with sounding rockets. And because they take like a year to put together, they cost $1 million or so, and you don't get all the stuff back that you set up. We were going to undercut the price significantly with a human-tinted telescope, go up for about the same amount of time, make observations and land and be able to do it four times a day.
Wow.
And so...
What happened?
What happened was that X-Core went out of business. Just as we were starting our crowdfunding campaign to buy our first four flights. So it was too bad. And that space plane was better that for our purpose than anything else that is on being sent up now, because it wasn't for tourists. And so when it got launched up there, when it went on that top arc, it could point within a half degree of our target wherever it was, and then we could quickly acquire and make our observations.
I want to talk a little bit about the Department of Defense, the UFO report. Yeah. What is that? They boiled it all down to about, what, 9 pages?
It was 9 pages. It's all conclusory statements. It really has no information in it. And I think this is a... But there's supposed to be... this was a preliminary report, so there's supposedly another report coming out with more detail in it, which I think is a wonderful opportunity to take something that a lot of people are very interested in, you know, the potential, you know, alien spacecraft or whatever, and say, okay, what can we say about this based on, like, the motion of the aircraft, taking the picture, the nature of the camera? Is it a blurred image? Is the blur the shape of the aperture, you know, which some cases are triangular, some is circular? You know, what can we actually say about the motion of what is being observed? Because there's an observation that's being made that's interesting, and sometimes it might be something, I wouldn't take anything off the table in terms of advanced explanations.
You're not anti-alien?
You know, Bill, if we could prove that there's alien spacecraft visiting the Earth, I can't tell you how much that would improve my funding profile. You know, it's like we could write our own ticket.
Yes.
But I've had some experiences of UFOs. Seeing a bright object above a forest and then shooting off into the sky. And it's like, this looked really classic. And I backed up my car and I was actually able to reproduce the bright object over the forest shooting up into the sky again, because it was after sunset and a light had just turned on a building behind me, and I was seeing a virtual reflection off of my car windshield.
Oh my goodness!
And so, but if I hadn't stopped, if I hadn't backed up, and I didn't try to reproduce it, I'd have this weird experience that I couldn't explain. Mm-hmm. And people hate not having explanations. And so, the military has some good data, some good observations. I mean, because frankly, a lot of reporter observations have been fraud.
Right.
But this is an opportunity to show people how science works as we try to figure something out. And in science, we're not trying to prove a particular result. We're trying to understand what are we seeing and can we reproduce that?
Did that report begin, do you know, with 1947, the Roswell incident, or did they go back further?
I think it was more modern sightings that they were focusing on.
You know, because that's kind of the...
Because there's no
touchstone of modern.
Yeah, we'll have to see. They didn't go into detail. They didn't list what the various sightings were or when, with possible exception of a few. But so more data is supposedly going to come out, and I think it'd be frankly great fun to sit down and say, okay, now have they given us the information, and what can we really say about what we're seeing here?
But you're saying that this is a golden opportunity because people are interested in this, and a kind of an opportunity for science to get in more into the kind of a consumer.
It's
realm.
A great way of explaining how science works.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, I'm interested in this stuff.
Sure.
You know, like I said, you know, I've a financial interest in it if it turns out positive, but no, it's fascinating stuff. We're looking for alien civilizations around other stars right now, you know, for evidence of life elsewhere in the universe. That's a big thing in our profession, and so
was that the only time that you had UFO observations personally?
I had back in the 70s. There was reports of UFOs following aircraft.
Right.
And one time I was sitting at an observatory watching the sky and saw an aircraft fly by with a red thing following it. Mm. And so I contacted a person I knew in the Air Force, my father, and he was able to identify the plane that flew over where I was at the time as a tanker, KC-135, refueling a jet, which had only, from below, you could only see its red navigator light.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looked like something following this plane, but it was really a jet being refueled by a tanker.
Mm-hmm.
So got that figured out. But you know, and it's fun to try to figure out what's going on, because it's not necessarily something that pops into your mind.
You know, that question, is there life out there? And it's a question that even a couple of decades ago, we would probably be surprised when we learn about what's been going on Mars and some of the other planets in our solar system.
You know, back in 1996, we had the Division for Planetary Science conference here in Tucson. I was one of the organizers when I was at the U of A. And that was the year that planets around other stars were discovered that didn't go away when somebody else looked at it. The ocean beneath the surface of Europa and the Martian microfossils, remember them?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question was suddenly, my God, could life be common out there? Could the conditions for life and life itself be something that's really common in the universe? We were thinking at the time that was a possibility. And it's still an open question.
Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Are you going to do a big event for your 50th anniversary?
I think we're going to have a year's worth of events.
So,
you know, we haven't figured it all out yet.
Put you on the spot there.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And, of course, the website is psi.edu, PSI for Planetary Science Institute. I urge everybody to become a member of this fine organization that is based here in Tucson. I'm a member because they're doing great work there. I don't give a lot of money, but every dollar does help, doesn't it, Mark?
Absolutely.
Supporting the cause. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. On behalf of Dr. Mark Sykes and John on the other side of the glass, we all hope you have a great afternoon.